We've come out of 40 days of prayer, and I do trust, as people have said, it's been fruitful for us individually and as a church. And I think we went into that time mindful that it's easy, isn't it, to be so caught up in doing things for Jesus that we fail to know Jesus himself. And I suppose a trap that we could fall into now is that we simply revert back to previous attitudes and habits, back to lots of doing, busyness of life, with little time for communing and listening and discerning the leading of God's Spirit in Christ. So let's let these two sisters in Christ, dearly loved, Martha and Mary, teach us again a lesson that is easily understood, but that's very hard to implement. Many things we can do, but one thing is needed. And look at how Luke begins this short narrative in his account of the life of Jesus. Verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. That's beautiful, isn't it? Martha is loving, hospitable, ready to serve. Just scoot your eyes up the page. What has Luke just told us about? He's told us the parable of the Good Samaritan. Here's a neighbor calling, Martha, Jesus and his disciples. Love your neighbor. Look at how the narrative continues, verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said, sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's amazing. And we're doing that right now. What a joy and privilege. Christ is here. We're listening to him. Verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She was busy. She'd invited Jesus and his disciples to stay. She's too busy, though, to listen to Jesus. She's not frittering away her time in front of endless channels of TV. She's serving. She's doing something very good. But the good has become the enemy of the best. She doesn't prioritize time for Jesus. Jesus himself. And as a result, she resents her sister. Look at how the narrative continues. She came to Jesus halfway through verse 40 and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Jesus describes Martha's state as worried. I wonder if that's you this evening, just distracted, anxious, any number of things filling our lives, consuming our thinking, absorbing us completely. Just a few chapters back, Luke records Jesus telling the parable of the sower and talking again about that word worry. Interestingly, he's telling a parable about receiving God's word, receiving it in our hearts. He says God's word is like seed that is sown in the lives of hearers. And in chapter 8, verse 14, he says this, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear the word of God, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries. There's that word again, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. The danger here is that busyness, worry, concerns, work, home, leisure, even the busyness of church means that the word of God does not find a resting place, an abiding place in our lives, a sitting room in our hearts. We're so concerned, involved with other things that listening to Jesus and hearing from him and feeding on his word just isn't happening. And Martha's circumstances and complaint really reveal that. She's ended up serving the Lord at the expense of time with the Lord Jesus himself. The good has become the enemy of the best. Results have taken priority over relationship. And that is a danger all of us constantly face in the many things we do. Many things we do, but Jesus says one thing is needed. One thing we need. Martha has asked Jesus, well, on the face of it, I suggest to us, especially our kind of church, especially to a results-driven culture, personality, sounds only too reasonable. She says to Jesus, tell her to help me. Jesus responds in verse 42. Look at that. He says, look, Martha, few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The best is Jesus. It's the one thing, the one person we need. Before and above everything else, it's knowing, communing, speaking with the Lord Jesus. I mean, priority over all that we do, informing all that we are. And that's true of all of us. The oldest to the youngest person here this evening. And the newest Christians, the most mature amongst us. And by the way, what Jesus does here, how he answers, is profoundly countercultural. Women were not permitted to take the role of a disciple with a rabbi, with a teacher like this. But Jesus welcomes and encourages it. It's not as if Jesus is saying that all we are to do is spend time listening to him. Far from it. The Bible calls us to be involved in all kinds of work, like raising a family, providing for our needs, vocation, paying taxes, serving our community, caring for the poor, supplying the needs of gospel ministry. But underpinning and overarching and permeating all of that is to be knowing Christ. Listening to him, speaking with him, just as many of us have testified and encouraged us this evening. It's only from abiding in Christ that fruitfulness springs. On the wall above his desk, okay, so just about 10 meters that way, Johnny Herring has these words above his desk by George Muller. The point is this, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, how much I might glorify the Lord, but how much I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man in Jesus might be nourished. If we fail to do that as a church, to abide in Christ, Jesus to be the center, these are some of the consequences we'll suffer. See them in my life. We'll fail to live our days purposefully for the Lord. We won't be reminding ourselves from God's word day by day of the glory of Jesus, who he is, what he's done. Not praying like that, meditating like that, means we'll be spiritually unfocused. We'll make poor decisions, skew our priorities, we'll miss opportunities, we'll lack sensitivity in the leading of God's Spirit. We'll also fail to accept our weaknesses and brokenness and powerlessness. That's what we'll do. That without the Lord Jesus, we are nothing. Spending time with him gives us perspective on this. Christ is our all in all. He's the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present one. He is Savior and King. We are none of those things. If we aren't communing with Jesus, we miss this. And we start to think and act as if we are powerful enough, and in control, and have the answers. We start making out as a church that we're Savior, we're King. It's by our might and strength that things get done and that fruit is seen. We'll also fail to see other people as God sees them. Instead of seeing one another as people to love, as we look across at one another, people to love and lay down our lives for and carry their burdens and rejoice in their joys, we'll see each other as obstacles and hindrances and burdens, people who stop me from getting what I want, who do what I don't want. And we'll see people who don't know Jesus as tokens or targets. Tokenism means we verbally acknowledge our love for those outside of the church, our desire to tell them about him, but in our lives, we don't really display that. Targets mean we'll treat people as if they've got an evangelize me spot on their back. We take aim and fire and mostly miss, but no sweat, next target. One thing is needed, one person is needed, and that is Jesus Christ. Do you remember the final letter to the church that we looked at in Revelation chapter 3 before we started 40 days of prayer? It was the church in Laodicea. And Jesus described himself to the church like this. He said, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Is Christ on the outside of our busy lives? Is Christ on the outside of our busy church? Who we are in Christ is to be the source of all we do for Christ. And that is the choice we all face. When Jesus says to us the one thing we need is him, we need to hear that personally. We can skip a meal. You can skip a shower. You can't skip time with Jesus. we'll end up existing rather than living. When Jesus says to us, one thing is needed, we need to hear that as a church. We can skip planning meetings. We can skip, hold on to your seats, members meetings. But I suggest to you, we can't skip prayer meetings. In fact, don't we pray that our planning and members, that meetings, that those will be increasingly filled with and surrounded with prayer. If we believe these things that we've even heard from one another tonight, we will choose them. We must choose Jesus, to spend time with him, to love him, to, as we were exhorted the Eastern congregation this morning, to sing praises to him day by day. That was our intention of 40 days of prayer. We wanted to try and renew and remind ourselves of this first thing, our first love, Jesus Christ. I think many of us were blessed in different ways over 40 days of prayer. We're hoping that this will just be the beginning of a refreshing and renewing love for Christ. There are some practical demonstrations of this that we've witnessed. Firstly, it's clear that this will be the last time that we'll have a period of prayer like this. Calling the church to a special season of prayer should be a regular, recurring part of our common life together. Secondly, the 9 o'clock prayer meeting that takes place in this room every weekday will continue. We're going to continue to meet in this room. We've been doing it last week and open it to all. It's been wonderful to see the growth of that prayer time and a blessing for those who can come along. If you are free, why not identify a day or two and join with us? But perhaps you can't make 9 o'clock in the morning. Why not make Thursday evening? A number of people so enjoyed the Thursday evening prayer meeting, we're carrying on that opportunity to fast and pray over the summer and into the autumn. So we're going to continue to meet on Thursdays at 7:15 here in Stapleton Road, an hour and a half or so. You would be most welcome to join. Many have spoken about how much they've appreciated the Sunday morning series in the Lord's Prayer. And in Luke's account, after he has shared this scene with us, Mary and Martha, look at where he takes us next. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Lead us not into temptation. May the Lord teach us to pray. To learn in the act of prayer, one thing is needed. You, Lord Jesus. And to learn what sitting and listening and communing with him day by day means. And to see that that kind of abiding and loving is the root to fruit. Fruit that will last.